James Kincaid, a.k.a. Bimbo Jimbo here at Best Damn Nerd Show, Lucha Lowdown, and all that good stuff. I am here with one of our favorites from the Temple of Lucha Underground, Marty the Moth Martinez at Comic-Con. Marty, how you doing?
Doing fantastical. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on. I bumped into you at the Purge City experience yesterday.
It was crazy, right?
Yeah, how was that? Did you have a good time getting ready to get your Purge on?
I love the Purge movies, and so I was very, very ready to get the Purge on going on.
I think my favorite part about that whole experience for those of you that were not able to go to it was the actors or the performers that they had there that were like the employees of the store that just were so like would come up to you and ask you like how are you going to purge and stuff like that. So how would Marty the Moth spend his purge?
I'd be curious about how the readers think Marty the Moth would purge, but definitely Marty the Moth would be out and enjoying purging.
Yeah, I feel like the Moth tribe and the Martinez family, though, like maybe Marty's parents would probably be holed up somewhere having a purge party. I feel like they're probably pretty well-to-do.
I feel like purge and the Moth tribe is pretty synonymous.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
That is like Christmas for the Moth tribe.
Excellent. So this is your first Comic-Con, if I'm not mistaken, right?
First San Diego Comic-Con, yes.
First San Diego,
I've been
okay.
to a bunch of other Comic-Cons. Salt Lake City has a huge Comic-Con, but I feel like San Diego Comic-Con is the cons of all cons.
The con of cons, that's for sure. It's treating you well so far, I hope, and everything. And but Lucha Underground Season 4, you know, we fans of the show, obviously, we were waiting to get the news to see is Season 4 going to happen. You know, like, I, on a personal note, I'd almost like losing, like, a girlfriend or something like that. I was like, well, I think I've gotten my closure. I'm not sure. Like, you know, like, she's ghosted me.
You got to have closure. You can't get ghosted and not have closure.
It's back, and it's better than ever. So what was your sort of reaction? Like, were you sort of waiting on the edge of your seat to find out? Just how did that all go down for you?
I wasn't worried in the slightest. I knew we were coming back. There's just, I just always had a feeling we were going to be back, and I wasn't worried in the slightest, to be honest.
Good. Well, good to hear it. And so, you know, that makes us sit a little bit. So I'm going to come to you first next time. Like, should I worry?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I wasn't worried in the slightest.
One of the things about Season 4, so there was the delay. So you had the big match with Phoenix, you know, mask versus hair, and you did lose your hair. So let's start with that. How was that experience in terms of, like, having to cut your hair in a match? Obviously, it's a big match in Lucha Libre traditions and stuff like that. So just take us through that a little bit.
Well, I lost.
Yeah.
So that sucked. Number one, you had the move that pinned me. That sucks because that hurts, and obviously it knocked me out for 3 seconds. And then there's the fact I had to cut my hair, and I've never been anything but like a, you know, the short, spiky-haired guys. How I started in Season 1, that's kind of the shortest I've ever had my hair.
Yeah.
I've never been bald. And to be honest, now that I've been bald, I never want to do it again. I look like I'm trying to kill, like I look like I'm a guy trying to pick fights.
Okay.
And that's not my personality to pick fights, but I look like a guy that just was angry when I was bald and just had facial hair, because I can't be bald and not have facial hair, because then I just look weird.
I don't know if you're a Seinfeld fan, but when Uncle Leo had the eyebrows drawn on, he just looked very angry all the time.
That's exactly what I looked like, angry all the time.
Was there any fear that it wasn't going to grow back?
There was a lot of fear.
Because I would be afraid of that myself.
I was very afraid, because like I live in the entertainment industry, so if you had come back with bald spots, then, well, there goes your career.
Because, you know, you've seen in wrestling, you know, Jeff Jarrett lost a hair versus hair match. He kept it short. Kurt Angle lost a hair versus hair match. He kept it bald and stuff like that. So I was kind of wondering. I was like, oh, is this sort of like, you know, LeBron James coming to terms with the fact that, well, you know, like, you can't go like it used to with the hair kind of
can't
deal.
Can't get the hairline any further back.
But you know, come back and now the hair is all the way back. Was there any sort of like, hey, you need to shave it again for Lucha Season 4? Or was it like, no, we're doing a time jump, so it's fine?
One of the reasons I love Lucha Underground is they give us a lot of creative freedom with what we do in there. There's a lot of times where I ask for forgiveness rather than ask for permission on things I do in the ring, and there's a lot of stuff that gets cut out. So Marty the Moth is a lot more sadistic and creepier than you guys see on TV.
Yeah,
just a lot of it gets cut out. But no, I was never asked to go like cut my hair again. It'd been some time since we lost, since the last episode we dared, and I got good vitamins. I run a supplement company. So there I got go. Good vitamins, and it grew my hair actually pretty quick. Within the year, I was back, and it was back at my shoulder length. So I have good vitamins. It helped me out pretty much a lot.
There you go. Can you talk a little bit about getting like creepy bastard over the fork and like the lunchbox? I mean, like I don't know many wrestlers that could get a lunchbox over in the same way that you did. Just like, what was that like for you?
It was a blast because it gave me something to work with. Like I was given the character of Marta the Moth. That's just an interesting character to put over in the first place. But it worked out, and the fans got attached to it, especially with the Melissa Santos story. So let's, as the character is an inner child, why wouldn't a child bring a lunchbox to his lunch? And at lunch, and at Lucha Underground Arena, lunch is while you're at the Lucha Underground Arena, usually when you're having a match. So it was great. I loved the forking idea. There's memes that come out about the fork you memes. I love that.
I have a creepy bastard fork shirt.
I love that chant. I had to pretend like I don't, but I love that chant so much. So hard every single time I hear that. I love the creepy bastard chant. I love it. So if you guys cheer that, I hate it / love it. Keep going and doing it.
How do you like the new temple compared to seasons 1-3's location?
It's a different venue for sure. It's a different feel. But at the same time, with Lucha Underground wrestlers, it's a lot more, it's a new arena to play with. We get to jump off of different places, and we get to smash you against different sorts of things. And with season 4, there's a lot more characters to smash into such things. So I thoroughly enjoyed the new Ice Temple.
The connection with the Believers, do you feel like that's the same or better than like the previous incarnation, like in terms of just like the energy?
I was worried, to be honest. And then the second the green light hit and there is two people in the ring, the Believers did what they do, and that all worries went away. The Believers were there. It was back, and I was pretty excited for season 4 right from the beginning, and it just got better as the season went. It was a quick season. We shot it so quick.
Yeah.
But it's probably the most crazy season I've seen.
It's just as a performer interacting with the Believers, because, you know, you see on TV a lot of them, they keep coming back. You see a lot of the same faces. How does that sort of like, what does that mean to you that you get the same fans coming back over and over again, that they still want to see you guys do your stuff? And maybe does that enhance how you're able to interact with them?
It means the world to me, because I know some people drive to 4 or 5 hours. They flew in from 12 hours away or whatever to come see these shows, and I know it was very, very hard to get these tickets. Luckily I was able to get my parents in, but if I didn't have those VIP tickets, I don't know if I would be able to get my parents in. It's very hard to get Lucha Underground tickets, so seeing the same amount of people, I know it takes dedication to get there. I know they're driving from the long distances. It's amazing because you know those people are very invested in the storylines, what's happening in the ring. Those are the fans I love the most.
Excellent, excellent. You were talking about the creativity a little bit, and I know I've talked to you about this before, but I feel like it's always great stories just in terms of how you and Melissa Santos developed the creepy chemistry and just like how that all came about. Just like, so take me through that again, like just what that creative process was like.
Well, the funny thing is I was one of the first signed at Lucha Underground, and the first happened in season 1. During a dark match, all I knew is that they wanted me on the roster. They just didn't know what they wanted me to do. So I was doing dark, what they call dark matches, matches before they go live on TV. And I was wrestling as my usual wrestling character, and I actually got a concussion. I went to the hospital. They had to ambulance me out and take me out. What happened is I got clotheslined over the top rope and knocked myself out. And because of insurance reasons, they wouldn't let me wrestle for 3 months out of the season, which was essentially the entire season of Lucha, season 1.
Yeah.
Long story short, it worked out to be a blessing rather than a curse, because I was fine. I went and wrestled in Germany at that time with Alex Wright's promotion. But during that time, they took me. I was a magician, is what they were thinking about having me. And okay. Then they turned
Marty
it into
the magician, not Marty
the magician. It was Marty the Magnificent.
Were you gonna be like Job from Arrested Development? Or?
Worse, I think. It was Marty the Magnificent with beautiful Brenda as my...
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually super glad for both of our careers that I got knocked the hell out. So...
I mean, it would have been interesting, though, just to see that. That
but I don't think I would have had as much fun being a magician versus creepy, because creepy, I'm kind of just that in real life.
Well, Well, it does feel like, I mean, you took that character that they gave you and you really sort of like, you added your own layers to it and sort of took it in the direction that you sort of saw. I mean, like, they give you that much input to do that and that much trust. Am I on there?
They give a lot of trust. In fact, what they gave me when they first told me about the character is, your name is Marty the Moth Martinez. You're from the Moth Tribe. You're like a big kid and you're not all there. Go.
And you did it. So what was like your first like think like I tweaks that you wanted to do with it? I mean, when did you know they're like, oh, I'm gonna mess with Melissa Santos? Like, that's gonna be my thing.
To be honest, it was rehearsal that day. We needed to do rehearsal to get everyone to get know where the cameras are gonna be during the announcements and stuff. And I jokingly walked up right behind Melissa Santos and just like whispered something creepily into her ear. And Krista Joseph, who, in all of his amazing knowledge, said, "Ooh, that was good. Can you do that again?" I'm like, "What do you mean? Just whisper something in her ear?" I'm like, "Yeah, just whisper something." I'm like, "What? All right." So I started doing that. He's like, "Ooh, can you flap your arms like a moth?" I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I'll flap my arms in the moth and creep and talk to Melissa in her ear." "Oh my God, would you actually do that?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do that." So that's literally during rehearsal on the first day is how that whole character happened during rehearsal on a random chance. So I was just me goofing off made Marty the Moth happen.
Very cool. Some of the best stuff can come from, you know, what's unexpected.
Absolutely.
Forgive me, I'm not sure if you've done Stone Cold's podcast or not, but I know you obviously were such like a big part of his season of Tough Enough and everything, and it was such like, I've talked to you about this before, the emotional level of you hanging up your own belt. But has Steve ever hit you up, or you ever hit up Steve and just like, I mean, I'm sure he's super proud of you, you know?
I've been on two of his podcasts at this point. He talked to me about a third. Steve, call me again. No, he talked to me about a third, but we'll see. Steve Austin's podcast is great. This is surprisingly, and it's a good thing for me to see, is the people that have had the success that you want in the fields that you want to be successful in. People having that success and still being humble enough to be polite to people, be nice to people. And Steve, as soon as I broke my ankle, was very kind to me. As soon as his camera stopped rolling, he gave me his phone number. We kept in contact. He helped me critique some of the matches and just talk to him about, hey, this is what I think you need to do for wrestling. And it's worked out very well for me.
That's awesome. You know, I mean, Lucha Underground is this huge entity now. There's Impact, there's New Japan Pro Wrestling, there's all these great independent promotions. Like, I'm from the Bay Area and All Pro Wrestling is so big up there. How do you feel as a wrestler, like just the kind of time period that we're in right now, just how good it is to be a pro wrestler?
I think with the advent of the internet and Twitch and the way people are now consuming wrestling, we're going to become part of the bigger, if not the second biggest, highest points in wrestling, in my mind. Yeah. I feel like wrestling is going to be on an upswing very highly to almost the level of the Monday Night Wars. But it may not get to that level, but it's still to the point where it's okay now to be a professional wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Before, it was almost like, I'm a wrestling fan, but I don't need you to know because I'm kind of shy about it. But back in the day, you had Karl Malone and all these people doing mainstream stuff. Hulk Hogan has a Thunder in Paradise show.
Yeah.
But now you got John Cena and Dwayne The Rock Johnson doing these blockbuster movies. He's a top Hollywood actor. Now it's okay to love wrestling again. And so that's why I think wrestling and the advent of the internet and the it's okay to love wrestling again attitude is going to bring us into one of the best wrestling eras that I believe is going to be around.
Awesome. I think you're right. I hope you're right. And to that end, you mentioned the internet. How big is it for Lucha Underground to be on like Netflix? Stuff like that, you know, to be streaming on Netflix.
To be honest, I put out a vlog on my YouTube all the time, every week, about my wrestling trips, and without a doubt, and it has nothing to do with Lucha Underground and Netflix, but I get a comment saying, when is Lucha Underground coming on Netflix or season 3? It's gotcha. Always that. Yeah. I've heard certain things, but I can't say anything.
Of course, of course.
But of course, so fingers crossed, but Netflix has been a huge thing. Everybody has Netflix, and I think that is the way, and I feel bad for people who aren't going this way. I feel like Netflix, Hulu, those direct-to-video streams are now the way things are going to go. So I think you have to get into that realm if you're going to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Last one for you. Thank you for taking the time here at Comic-Con, Marty. But if you can just sum up, what has Lucha Underground done for your career?
Lucha Underground has been amazing. It's let people know the range of what I can do. It's let people know that I'm here. And basically, it's let me people see the progression from WWE Tough Enough to Lucha Underground where I'm at this point. So Lucha Underground's been an amazing thing for me, both for both my supplement company, for my YouTube. It's done everything for me. So I'm very grateful Lucha Underground is still here.
Marty, you're always so much fun to talk to. Thanks for taking the time, and I'm sure I'll catch up with you down the line.
Absolutely, absolutely.